Thomas whips it in. Brilliant save at point-blank range, and now it is in and over the line. And yes, no. And the game goes on. Well, they celebrated the goal. The referee says no, and the game is being played, and it is hacked away. Well, they were adamant that had gone over the line. But the referee says no. He looked across at his assistant to see whether he indicated that something had gone wrong.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and joining me this week is Jan Bilton.
Hello.
Terry's on holiday this week, sunning himself. Well, he'll be back next week, but we won't be back next week because we're having a break. We're having a break because I'm on holiday.
Everyone's on holiday. I had my holiday in the closed season.
Well,
like normal people do.
I think after this weekend, we need a holiday, don't we? Well, I do anyway, because football was just a bit mad this week, and it got everyone really, really angry, didn't it, Jan?
And that's just what we need on this little island of ours, isn't it? More angry people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing as well, because when football makes us angry, we start comparing it to other things that make us angry and look at other injustices in the world and start comparing it to that, which it's a bit silly because at the end of the day, this is just football. However, that said, it's not going to stop us talking about it for the next half hour or so because, yeah, this weekend, well, VAR, it just doesn't go away, does it? No matter how much we want it, no matter how much Terry rolls his eyes every time I say, I think we should talk a bit about VAR this week because, you know, we've been here since before VAR was called VAR, back when it was called video referees. And we've said pretty much since day one, this is a bad idea. Nothing good will come of this. And it won't have the effect that you think it's going to have. But nobody listened to us, did they, Jan? Nobody.
We were like Cassandra, weren't we?
We were.
Cursed to see the future and no one would believe us.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you meant that we'd go out with Rodney Trotter, but yeah.
Yeah. But I remember being all for this, having seen it in the few sports and the few levels of those sports where video replays are used, and having myself completely educated by your good self, Graham, as to why this was a bad idea, which was a real moment of enlightenment, which I've witnessed you impart to others, members of my own family. But the position we've held across the years remains unchanged, really. I mean, I can't think of a time where we've gone, well, it's not as bad as it was. I mean, this was a car crash this weekend, though, wasn't it? It was
absolutely, like, yeah.
Football actually broke on this little island, didn't it? It actually broke. Well, certainly the English bit of it anyway, but it'll be coming to Scotland soon, no doubt. But yeah, it just felt like everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong. And I would imagine that the Premier League would be quite happy to keep VAR, well, certainly before this weekend, because, you know, it's billed as the biggest league in the world, so therefore they should have access to the best technology. And they probably actually think that it probably adds a bit more spice to things, that, you know, they've got this additional stuff that goes on, additional narrative around it, which probably does help sell subscriptions or rights. But I can't see this being anything other than bringing the game into disrepute, really, this weekend. It was that bad. It was embarrassing to watch.
It was. So this week, we are going to look at the incidents. We're not going to forensically analyse them because decisions were made, rightly or wrongly. What we will do is have a look at them and say why they got people so angry. Is this likely to happen again? Or are the powers that be going to learn from what's happened this weekend? Lots of stuff to get our teeth into. We'll also have a little chat about the ideas that people have of fixing it. And they always come out whenever we get a weekend like this. And it's the same old things that get brought out over and over again. And the same old things that don't seem to have any sort of progress towards. Things like miking up the referees. That's a good old trope, isn't it? And the one that is usually brought out by people who support VAR is there's nothing wrong with VAR. It's just being implemented incorrectly. Well, let's have a think about whether or not there is something wrong with VAR or not. But let's go through the incidents. Now, I'll start off with the one in the Arsenal game, mainly because this one is probably the most cut and dried one. It's a simple one to get out of the way. This was the disallowed goal for Arsenal. It was 0-0 at the time. Arsenal went on to lose 3-1 at Old Trafford. But at this stage, it was early in the first half. Man United applied pretty much constant pressure for the opening quarter of an hour of the game. And then, in the middle of the park, Odegaard goes in on Eriksen. The ball breaks loose. It's passed forward to Martinelli, who scores a cracking goal. An amazing goal. But wait, no. The secret eye in the sky has said, that was not a goal. Go and have a look at it. And yeah, the VAR told the referee to go and have a look at it. He did go and have a look at it. Stalford's Paul Tierney went over to the screen. Yes, you didn't have very far to go home after the game. Stalford's Paul Tierney went over to the screen and decided that, yes, there was a foul in the build-up and the goal was disallowed. Now, of course, I was quite stoic when that happened.
I bet.
Yeah, well, you know, them's the breaks. Football, eh? I think those were my exact words. Still plenty of time in this game and lots of fun to be had. Yeah, that's what I thought of it anyway. Jan, you saw the incident. Were you as level-headed as me when that happened?
I'd probably say I was more level-headed than you. The fact being that I was level-headed about it because it's not my club. But because that was the Sunday game, of course, and, yeah. And having seen some of the stuff that no doubt we'll talk about as we go on, you know, it did kind of upset me a little bit just because of it was the next one in a catalogue of cock-ups, really. So Odegaard comes together with Eriksen. I mean, in another time, that wouldn't have even been a foul. Yeah. And I'm not talking about, you know, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So I thought that was harsh, really, really harsh. There are people that could have said it was a foul, and now I've watched it back a lot. I'm not as at first I was quite animated about it, but I can see why the foul was given. But I think it was really, really, really harsh because we've all seen players coming together like that where it hasn't resulted in a goal scoring opportunity or a goal, and players been allowed to continue. I thought that was a bit rough, a bit hard on Arsenal.
Being as level headed as I can on this one, I could see that that could have been given as a foul, but I could easily see that that would be allowed to play on. If that foul, that exact foul, had resulted in a penalty, I think you'd have every right to complain about that as being a very, very soft decision. Personally, and this is my own personal opinion, this is not what happened, because obviously what the referee says after consultation is what happened. But personally, I thought that Eriksen had lost control of the ball. I think he obstructs Odegaard. That's why Odegaard doesn't touch the ball. That's why there is a coming together, and that's why Eriksen falls over. I can completely see someone else's opinion who would say, no, Odegaard is clumsy in his challenge, doesn't get the ball, and so Eriksen loses the ball because of excessive physicality. Which is fine. That can be a decision. Now, this is perhaps one instance, I think, where the concept of the referees being mic'd up may have helped to a degree. But I'm only saying to a degree because I don't think micing up a referee to explain the decision he's just made or to go over the decision he's made really is going to help them take away the scrutiny from the decisions that they do make or what they perceive has happened. Personally, I think that Paul Tierney allowed the play to go on because he wasn't sure whether it was a foul or not. It was in the middle of the park. It didn't look that dangerous a position. So I think it could have easily allowed play to go on. Didn't realise that within two touches it would be in the back of the United net. So maybe he did that. Maybe he said, right, okay, let's see how it goes. Maybe his benchmark was, I think Odegaard's got a touch on that. If he hasn't, I'm going to disallow it. And if he explained that over the replay, I think then you can see someone say, well, yeah, okay, I'll give him that. If you were going to call it as a foul and then didn't because of VAR, this is one thing we don't know with VAR. We don't know when referees aren't calling fouls because they think, I need the safety net here. I'll use the safety net. I'll let it go I'll let play continue and then do it. But because we don't have that communication, we don't know. There's no soft signal in football. In cricket, one of the more interesting developments in their use of technology is the introduction of a soft signal. So if a fielder goes for a very, very low catch, the umpire, if he's not sure whether or not it was a clean catch, i.e. he doesn't know whether or not the ball was grounded before the fielder got it, he can ask for the help from the video umpire, but he will give a signal. He will give a soft signal. So he may raise his finger to show a soft signal of out. Then if the video umpire cannot conclusively prove that the umpire was wrong, because it's very difficult sometimes to actually prove that whether or not fingers were underneath the ball or something like that.
Yeah.
Then they can't overrule what the referee's already said. So I wonder if there is a way of the referee should be able to signal that he's allowed play to go on, but he wants the backup. Then you wouldn't get people, I think, saying, oh, well, it wasn't a clear and obvious error. The referee didn't make a clear and obvious error. What you're saying is, all right, the VAR has come down to confirm something that the referee wasn't sure about. And I think this is one thing in VAR that we don't really have. We look on it whenever the VAR calls the referee over to the screen. We assume that he's correcting the referee rather than backing up a suspicion that the referee already has.
Yeah.
And maybe miking up the referee or allowing some other kind of signalling available. It could even be just a clicker in his hand that activates a light off the pitch to say, right, okay, I'm not stopping play. You can continue play, but I may have a look at this incident again.
I think miking up the ref's a good idea just for entertainment purposes anyway.
Yeah.
Rather than anything else, I think it would make it more entertaining if you really wanted to hear the referee during the game. But yeah, I like that idea. I do like that idea. I think to a point you could argue that, well, we don't know the inner thoughts of that particular referee, but there must be instances where referees have gone, I'm not sure about that, because it all happens so bloody fast.
Yeah.
Your footballers are athletes and they move like athletes move. And to be able to keep up with that 100% of the time is a real, real challenge. And so maybe referees are just going, well, if there's an error there, it's going to get caught anyway, and I'll get pulled back and I'll get a chance to look at it. But of course, that doesn't help when people question the decision, or when the decision is contested in any way, shape or form, because it looks like he's missed it.
Yeah.
And the reality is he could well be using a system that he's got very, very well.
Yeah,
because he knows that he's got a second pair of eyes on there. So, but I think that would make it more transparent, certainly, the soft call.
I think that you could use that instance there where the referee has seen an incident and he's thinking that may be a foul, but allowing play to continue. I think you could say that and say, well, that's applicable to the Newcastle goal that was chalked off against Palace, and also to the West Ham goal against Chelsea, both of which were, for my money, they weren't fouls.
I think as well, if you had that where he's able to somehow indicate, clicker thing seems the best way to do it, and that could somehow, I don't know, maybe flag something on the screens that are around the pitch that the supporters can see. TV obviously would see it straight away as well. And at least you know that if this results in a goal, if I've seen it, I don't have to jump around and make myself look like an idiot when it actually hasn't happened. You know that there's a phase of play under review leading up to that goal or that attempt. So I think that's quite a sensible way of dealing with that problem.
Going back to the idea of miking up referees, I don't like that concept. I know what people say, oh, it would be great to have them talking through their decision process. But we all know that when Dermot Gallagher or Peter Walton come on the telly, it's utter, utter death. It's like, it's terrible.
Yes.
Just hearing their dull tones coming over, especially during a game. And also as well, it prolongs it even more. It just adds more time in a VAR break. Because he's got to come over somewhere. He's got to stand somewhere, whether he just stands in the middle and then tells the punters at home. Because that's who it's there for. It's not for the people in the crowd. It's for the people at home on telly.
Yeah.
Will you see them doing that on games that aren't shown live? Well, I mean, all games are shown live, I guess. But I can't see it happening. And as well, we've mentioned it before. How does that work in the Champions League? How does that work in World Cups? Do you have your multilingual referees giving them out in the languages of both teams and then English? Or do we just insist on the fact that Paris Saint-Germain versus Real Madrid, the referee is going to explain his decision in English because everybody speaks English, don't they?
Or you'd only ever have Dutch referees. The Dutch speak all languages. Which would be difficult when Holland are playing.
Well, this is the problem when you look at rugby as your guiding light, because pretty much every team that plays rugby speaks English, even the French, though they don't admit it.
Yeah. The point I'd like to make is that on the miking up the ref is kind of counter to my earlier assertion that I thought was a good idea for entertainment purposes.
I don't disagree with the fact. It would be entertaining.
It puts even more scrutiny on the referee.
Yeah.
And I think that the great failing of VAR was to remove that scrutiny, to make it more transparent, to make it easier. There'll be no players arguing with the referee. There'll be no contested decisions. Everything will be correct or as correct as it can be. It's spectacularly failed to do that, which is evident from this week's calamities. You know, whatever we do, we need to get the emphasis off the referee and get the emphasis on the game the way it should be, because this all started really because of and I'm not going to go rugby union on you, and Terry will be going crazy when he hears me talking about respect when he's sitting over there in Greece, but the fact is that the over scrutinization of refereeing decisions that started probably with the advent of TV and football, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But it got worse and worse and worse and worse over the years, and so the referees couldn't do anything right at all. And of course, we all had the benefit of TV replays afterwards, so you could spot any glaring errors. And that's what led to the call for this technology. That has created this monster that is ruining the game. And the number of people who I know that were ardent supporters of this coming in, and it was the right thing to do. We've got the technology. Why don't we just use it? And now just shaking their heads and just saying, I got it wrong.
Yeah,
I really got it wrong. Just to go back to the point on miking up the ref, that adds even more to that. And getting him to stand there and forgetting about the craziness of trying to do it in several different languages. But, you know, the referee's there to officiate a game. You know, as Terry's fond of pointing out, these are middle managers,
yeah,
who like to dot the I's and cross the T's and make sure all their columns lined up, right? They're not there to address an audience of millions,
yeah,
on what the outcome of their view of a certain scenario is. You hear people saying a lot, who'd be a referee? Mm. I mean, but, you know, you're going to add more scrutiny onto it. How are you going to get people that want to do it?
I completely agree. I mean, the fact is that you're asking referees to be performative, to actually be part of the show. You're concentrating attention on them. And the more you do that, the more likely it is that they are going to mess up, that what they do is going to be wrong. But going back to what we were saying earlier about the fact of maybe a referee is allowed play to go on. We've had this with offside, haven't we, where the linesman keeps his flag down and then pulls it up late in the move. We had this incident in the Villa City game where the flag went up and the whistle went, Coutinho shot the ball and it went in the goal. Now, everyone had stopped, so I don't want to say that this was a goal, because although it went in, it was a big deflection, everyone had stopped and the goalkeeper didn't make an effort to stop it. But the ball was still alive. The ball was still in a dangerous position and it could easily have been a goal. It could have, all right, the XG on it was less than 0.1, I think. But there was still a lot of football left in that. But it stopped a promising attack for Villa purely because of this reason of lifting the flag up when the player was actually onside. Now, this has been one of the things that I've been annoyed about for years since the implementation of VAR, is pundits and commentators hating the fact that the flag doesn't go up immediately because it makes them look fools, because they're talking through play and then they're like, oh, now the flag's come up, and then using like something, oh, someone's going to get injured one of these days because they're playing football. Yeah, that's what they're doing. Yeah, that's what they're there to do. They're there to play football. Someone's going to get injured for playing football. Great, okay. But now they've said, oh, no, we won't have so many of those late flags. Now, this complaint about VAR, the fact that linesmen weren't lifting their flags up, this wasn't anything that was wrong with VAR. This was something that VAR was actually doing quite well. It was just a bit annoying to watch, the fact that a linesman would raise his flag once the play had finished. But because there was pressure from media to change it, because it doesn't feel right, it's a bit odd. It's football, but different. This is what the whole of VAR is. When I saw that, I thought, that's happened there because people have been moaning about a bit of VAR that actually works. And that's the officials using, well, working with VAR to say, right, okay, well, we'll let it play out because I could be making a mistake. We're going down to toenails now. So, yeah, I can't see that accurately. I'm going to keep my flag down. Yeah, he was wrong with that call. He shouldn't have made that call. And Villa missed out a chance of winning that game.
Yeah, agreed. And I think this is very similar to the point about the Martinelli goal, where there is the potential that the referees left that, effectively putting his flag up late just to see what happens. That was particularly bad, actually, because I would love to have seen City getting beaten by Villa. I mean, that would have been great with all the narrative that was going on about Stevie G before that and how good City are. You know, we're expecting a mauling, and actually Villa played a really good game and they absorbed all that pressure in the first half and really had a good go at them in the second half. So on its own, that probably wouldn't have prompted much ire from supporters, but I think because it was one of so many.
Yeah.
And I suppose as well, to be fair, it's against the champions and you've got a man that could lose his job if the result had gone a different way. Yeah, it's disappointing, really disappointing.
That's another thing as well, though, isn't it? It's narrative. Because sometimes we want VAR to just repair the narrative, to get the story going into something that would be better. I think that's half the problem of the West Ham goal against Chelsea, or non-goal against Chelsea. If that had been Chelsea having a last-minute equaliser chalked off, we'd all be laughing our tits off right now, wouldn't we? We'd all be thinking, oh, VAR, well done, VAR. Because no one wants to see Chelsea salvage a last-minute point, do they? Nobody.
No.
Absolutely. Not even Chelsea fans, I don't think, want to see that.
They even hate themselves.
Yeah, of course they do. That's why they're Chelsea fans. But because it's West Ham against Chelsea, then I think it allows us to feel angry about it. And yeah, it was a shocking decision, an absolute shocker of a decision. But again, if the referee had seen that and thought, I'm not too sure about that, and he allows himself to have that doubt reinforced by someone else, what we assume as being, oh, I thought this was only for clear and obvious errors, it changes again.
If you're CEO of Premier League or the head of marketing or whatever at the Premier League today, you're loving this. Absolutely loving this. Because it adds to that narrative. I mean, even if we're doing the jobs for them.
Well,
sorry, I'm not criticising your editorial, Graham. but like, you know, everyone's talking about it because it just adds to the narrative and it's got people talking about their product.
I suppose this is one thing that people do say is it'll turn people off the game. And I just wonder if it will or not, because there was so much clamour to bring it in. But no one stopped watching the game because it wasn't here. In the ground, I could see it affecting people's decision to go to watch football because you were the first of our number to see an action when you went to Berlin, weren't you? Mm. And the fact that I was telling you what was going on from my sofa when I was watching it on telly while you were in the ground and not knowing what was going on immediately highlighted a lot of the problems of VAR.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was crazy then. So, I mean, they've got over that part of it, which they couldn't not do because it was so ridiculous, the fans not knowing what was going on. And obviously, the Premier League waited and let those mistakes be made elsewhere, didn't they, before they implemented it here. I suppose that's a good part of a poor solution. On the West Ham one, though, I mean, I'm no fan of West Ham, and that I've got no problem with the Emmers at all. Before people start writing in, it's purely with David Moyes because he's completely useless. No matter what you say, there's no argument that you can put to me that will say otherwise. You know, under normal circumstances, I would have been kind of really pleased that West Ham had. If West Ham had gone there and got beat 4-0, I'd have been like, yeah, great. Well, there you go. He's been found out again. But even I, as one-eyed as I am, saw that, and I just, that was bad. And to be fair, and again, arguing against my own points, the referee was right in front of proceedings. I mean, he was watching Bowen trying to close down the keeper, you know, whether, again, he let that go just to see what would happen afterwards. But that's the biggest injustice of the day. Brighton's goal against Leicester, I mean, they scored five anyway.
Yeah.
So all right, you haven't got a worldie on your stats, but certainly West Ham fans, that must have been really difficult for them to take.
Okay, well, out of your one eye, can you give your opinion on the Newcastle goal that got disallowed?
Oh, it was a correct decision. I'm sure someone's going to... I think we've only had one complaint in 10 years for my one-eyedness, haven't we, from Newcastle supporters. It's all in jest, my Geordie cousins. It's all in jest. So Willock collided with the keeper. Ball bounced off Mitchell and went in. I thought that Willock was kind of pushed into the keeper.
Yeah.
So I think that goal should have stood.
I think it should have stood, or at least been a penalty.
Yeah. That's the other one. But I think you would have just gone, well, look, you know, justice has been served. It went in.
Yeah.
So it was fine. I think, you know, Newcastle, who are going to be fine, by the way.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to be too aggrieved by this. Again, another one in isolation you might have just rolled your eyes at. But, you know, it was just one of many.
Of course, VAR came in after a couple of years that we had goal line technology. And I suppose up until this weekend, in this country at least anyway, it had only failed once. It happened in the Premier League. And unfortunately, it cost Sheffield United the points they required to stay up. So it did actually have a big consequence. Of course, if it was to fail early on in the season, like, say, this weekend, that may not have too much of an effect going forward. But, yeah, it went wrong again, didn't it?
Yeah, in the Championship. Huddersfield Town were denied an equaliser against Blackpool, where the goal line technology failed to recognise the fact. It failed at its one job. It's got one. Like, VAR's got a lot of jobs, okay? We give it a lot of grief. It's got a lot of jobs. Goal line technology's got one job, and it failed in this case, and Huddersfield missed out. See, the Sheffield United one, I mean, that's terrible. You're right. If it happened at the beginning of the season, no one would be saying anything. And as we've said on the pod, you know, across a season, the best team wins and gets, you know, wins the league or gets promoted, and the worst teams get relegated. And that was true of Sheffield United that season.
Oh, okay? Yeah, definitely.
So that terrible way that it happened, I agree. I think it was Sunderland's first or second season in the third tier. There was a goal that should have been given against us. And the shot was fired at the keeper, and he kind of went down to gather it into his chest, as they do, and then flop on the floor. And he flopped on the floor, clearly inside of the goal. And because there's no goal line, it wasn't given. And, you know, we didn't go up that season anyway.
Yeah.
So what does it matter? I'm just wondering whether there's an argument to say that has it made linesmen or referees' assistants and referees a little bit lazy when it comes to that? They just kind of go, well, look, this works 99.9% of the time. I just wait for the buzz on my wrist. So even the linesman doesn't have to look for it, really.
Yeah.
But in my view, the fact Huddersfield missed out on that is you kind of go, well, that's a failing of the officials.
Yeah.
Because there should be, you know, there should not be an expectation that the technology is always going to work. It should be like, we do our job and the technology is there to support us. That's the argument, isn't it? So that's a real shame for Huddersfield. But kind of would expect the officials to be there to pick it up, really, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's very similar to the Sheffield United goal, where the ball is sandwiched between the goalkeeper and the post. So it is obscured, but there is plenty of angles where you can see that was over the line. Now, of course, the Championship doesn't have VAR, so there is nothing there to help the decision-making process. VAR is coming into the Championship. When? We don't know. How much of it is coming in, we don't know, because it's probably going to be this thing called VAR Light, which is what Scotland are getting. So we're only going to really know what VAR Light is once we see it in operation in Scotland. We've already briefly spoke about VAR Light in the first podcast we did this season, and Terry was pretty much agin it. So VAR Light, Jan, what do you think?
Well, it depends on what it looks like. Anyone listening to this, if there anyone is still listening to this, will, you know, won't be surprised when I say that, you know, you've just got to get this right first, haven't you? It's never going to get ripped out. We know that's just not going to happen. It's going to take something seismic for that to happen. But if you're going to do something with fewer cameras, which I'm assuming that's what they mean, how is that going to work? Does that mean you're relying more on something semi-automated? You're relying on AI to do something more because clearly you're not going to have as many eyes on it. You know, I don't know. That'll be quite an interesting one for us to talk about when it comes out. Because so it's got to be cheaper, but it's got to be able to do the same job. So there must be something inside of the box of tricks that's going to be able to make that happen. And I can only think that's going to be something AI related.
Well, yeah, but that's the most expensive stuff, isn't it? So you're going to just rely on less people. So there's going to be less eyes on it. There's going to be less people in the VAR booth. You're not going to see it across all games. You're only going to see it on the televised games.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's what VAR Lite is going to be. VAR Lite's going to be, we'll give you VAR, but it's only going to be when people are watching, when people outside the stadium are watching these games. And that's going to be absolutely criminal.
So for Scotland, that would mainly mean if you're playing one of the Old Firm, then you get VAR Lite.
Yeah.
If you're not,
yeah,
you know, then you know, then you're, so again, that you know, within a, with, if that is what were to happen, yeah, you'd have a different game within a single division.
Yeah.
Which is really, really crazy.
And because people like to say, oh, well, it works perfectly well in other sports, this is how it works in other sports. You get the thing that you've had at Wimbledon for years, where you've only got video replays on the show courts. If you play on the outside courts, you don't get any reviews because there is the system there to do it for you.
Which is grossly unfair.
It is grossly unfair. Well, also as well, it shows you how bullshit it is. But the fact that you don't need it in there because the rest of your tournament is working fine. And if you're that concerned about getting decisions correct, then you have to do it for everything. People say people who are opposed to VAR are just opposed to technology. It's like if you were around in the 1800s, we still would have a piece of tape between the goalposts because you wouldn't want the crossbar to be there. But if your crossbar breaks, then you have to fix that or the game gets called off.
Yeah.
Is that what we want with VAR? That if it's not functioning properly, then we can't play anymore because our need to be correct or our perceived need to be correct has to be satisfied?
Well, no, the need to be correct is there, is manifest. Yeah. But the actual ability to be correct is impossible. You can't get to that.
No.
Consistently anyway, which is what this weekend has shown.
Yes, it has indeed. So what games do we think is going to mess up this weekend? Well, actually, there'll be quite a lot of games that it really, really won't mess up. And if you want to watch some football where there isn't going to be any of this bullshit, then for one thing, you've got Friday night, you've got Burnley v Norwich. You can watch that. That would be quite good in the Championship. But for the rest of the weekend, there are three games on from the new season of the WSL. Yes, you can watch Tottenham play Man United. You can watch Man City v Arsenal. They're both on Sky Sports. Or you can watch Chelsea versus West Ham, which is on BBC Two on Sunday lunchtime. There's also some other Premier League games on there as well. There's also games from La Liga. Those games, of course, will have VAR in, I'm afraid.
Boo.
But if you want to see which games we pick to watch this weekend, then get along to sofpodcast.com, click on the link for the weekend box set, and sign up for it. And you will get our email in your inbox on Friday lunchtime, or you can go and read it on the blog. It's about 2,000 words, 2,000 words detailing seven games, the games we think you should be watching from Friday to Sunday. But that's all we have time for this week. Now, I know it was a very emotive subject, and I'm sure if you're still listening, then you may have some opinions. And, you know, despite what I've said in the past, please do feel free to get in touch with us and tell us what you think. Mark Butler got in touch with us last week. He had some great insight on the Wrexham takeover and about the whole concept of the documentary series. And if, like him, you want to get in touch and talk about your own experience on these things, then great. We like that. Don't just contact us and say we're rubbish. You know, sometimes we are.
Yeah.
At least we explain why we're rubbish on here. Isn't that right, Jan?
We do, yeah. And we get a lot of chances to do it, Griff. That's why we're well versed.
We are. At least we don't have to apologise for our cold takes this week. Well, apart from the Alexander Isak one. Yeah, Terry's cold take on that. Oh, that got cold quick, didn't it? What did he score in his first game, didn't he? Well. But that's all we have time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, and from Jan Bilton, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
But it shows that the tech fails. And when we get semi-automated VAR for offsides, that's going to fail too.
Yeah, but with that, because it's using AI, it'll get it wrong, but at least it'll know why it got it wrong. Yeah, I got that was a stinker. I really got that one. I'll be better next time, and then there will be.